folks said that I would change my mind. I'd straighten up and do just fine. Ah, but I still love rock and roll. I keep on rolling with the flow.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for sticking with us on this Monday morning. Still to come on the program, Del Jackson joins us in the 10 o'clock hour. State Representative Lynn Greer in the 11 o'clock hour, along with our official Democrat response, Parker Griffith, in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Please stay tuned for that. But joining us now on the program, very pleased to bring on a friend of the show. Always comes on when possible. State Senator Greg Allbritton on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing pretty well. A little chilly today, but other than that, doing great.
Yeah, you get these cold spells. You get them for a few weeks a year, but we'll be back to normal before soon. They don't last too long in South Alabama, you know. Senator, let's kick it off here. I guess the Associated Press finally got around to writing this story, but something you said, I think Senator Glover was filling in on the station a few weeks ago, but going to take another look at gaming in 2022. Walk us through what you expect. My understanding is that it's going to look a lot very similar to what you guys had passed in 21.
Well, that would make sense, Jeff, because we passed it through the Senate, and we don't know what the House would have done if they'd gotten it to the floor. But that's where we had the most votes. That seems to be at least the template we need to start with.
Yeah, but essentially it will be comprehensive. It won't be anything. Would you break it up, or will it mainly kind of be the same bill, just, I don't know, maybe tweak it here and there?
We'll do some tweaking. The biggest tweak that I can foresee is the spending of the monies. By that, I mean we have a lot of money coming from several sources for broadband, and we're making some progress with that. So the funds from the gaming, we're looking more at moving that into mental health to reestablish the long-term mental health care and facilities and training and those type matters that we have a gap there in Alabama that we need to deal with. And that's the source that we can turn to.
And you expect this bill to, we get to see it. Are you going to pre-file it, or will this be something that will hit the regular session?
It'll hit the regular session. I just don't know when. Working this is the details of it are finally watched, and it is comprehensive. It touches a lot of areas. The biggest issue we have, I think, is in packaging, and by that I mean the narrative that's out there. It has always been the matter that, we're expanding gaming and we're increasing gaming and we're going to have gaming everywhere and gaming is this and gaming is that. The narrative of this really is a matter that we're not trying to expand gaming. What we're trying to do is control it. We already have it in the state. We have it everywhere we turn. You see the ads. If you watch game day on Saturday mornings, football, all you hear about are the odds out of Nevada. I like to use the analogy that there's a lot of people that made a whole lot of money in the last 3 minutes of the Iron Bowl that was played in Alabama by Alabama players, and yet Alabama didn't get a dime of what transactions occurred in those last 3 minutes. We've got to get a control of the industry. The state has an obligation of that. Right now, we are in a jumble in that we have the courts that say that anything that's going on is illegal. We've had the governor's commission that came in and said that we have the only thing legal is paper ballots, and yet we have all of these things going on online in casinos and several places under the guise of local CAs. We've got to get control of this so that we can control it and so that Alabamians can benefit from it.
Is it possible, though, if another year comes and goes where nothing happens, that, you know, what is actionable by the state, what is actionable by the Attorney General's office, that it seems to be this kind of unanswered question? I know the Supreme Court has some cases, some precedent here, but it does seem to be how the law is interpreted. We just don't have a lot of clarity of the status quo, do we?
No, we do not, because there's been ambiguity and overlapping of matters that cause that confusion. And then you've got all the people that are benefiting from it now that don't want any competition or they don't want anything else going on in the state. And so that's where you have the problem part of it. And that's our obligation as a legislature, is to bring that clarity, to make clear definitions of what's legal, what isn't, to put in the proper regulations, to have a means so that you can enforce it and send people in jail when they need to be, to make compensation to those that have been taken advantage of, to set up a means so that those that have problems can be cared for. We've got to do that. That's our state obligation. And we've just been sitting on it watching this. Many people just stick their heads in the sand and so it's okay. Don't worry about it. It'll go away. Oh. It doesn't go away. It's like kudzu. It keeps growing.
Senator, whenever we talk about the bill the Senate had passed in this last session, the pushback I get from a lot of our listeners is, well, it's a system that picks winners and losers. It doesn't open up the state to others, anybody else other than PCI and the existing dog tracks, and I guess one or two others. But what do you say to that? I mean, it seems to me that under just given the politics of Alabama and how these, a lot of people, especially in the House, a lot of these members need to protect their own turf, that this is the, what you guys have come up with is the only feasible path forward. But that is where you find you lose some of your support, is when they look at the system that it would set up.
Yeah, we lose the support when we start trying to take control of it, don't we? We lose the support when we actually start taxing it. We lose the support when we start identifying who has the capability of doing this and who doesn't. There is a difficult path to walk there. But that's why it has to be comprehensive. We can't deal with one part or the other. We've got to deal with the whole thing at one swipe to get this accomplished. So that's the only way you can even bring a semblance of fairness to it, is to deal with all of it.
I mean,
there's always winners and losers in life. There's winners and losers in legislation, too. And we're trying to find a path that we can resolve that with the least degree of harm and the greatest benefit to the state.
I mean, when we talk about a standalone lottery bill, that I don't think a lot of people understand this, and this is my understanding of it, that to get to a lottery, you got to repeal the prohibition on gambling, games of chance, from the Alabama Constitution of 1901. Once you do that, that opens up a whole new, I don't know what it would open up, but it wouldn't. It would certainly change the status quo. So that's why it seems to me that it's kind of got to be what it is. It's just you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place otherwise.
Well, you're correct. There is no easy answer to it. That's why it's taken us, while we're still dealing with this after 20-some-odd years, okay? And during that 20 years, gaming has continued to increase, has continued to grow and develop, and it is here in Alabama, and any place you go, you'll find it. And again, we have no control over it, meaning the state. The state doesn't regulate it. The state doesn't tax it. In the bill, in the comprehensive bill, we cure all that.
And the other problem you run into, it's not just a simple majority. You're trying to strive for a constitutional amendment. You need a supermajority, and to get those votes all lined up, it's just not necessarily a pretty process, is it?
No, it isn't. But then that's the legislature, you know. And I know I've been on the phone today with folks, and don't do it this time. It's the election year. Let's put it off. Let's do it next quadrennium and such. You know, well, you know me. I've said this before. This is not this is the obligation the state has. This is a problem the state has that we have to face. And that's not guided by election dates. Those come and go. We still have to do our duty. We still have our responsibility to the public. And we need to step forward and take care of it.
Joined by State Senator Greg Allbritton. He's also the chairman of the Senate General Fund Budget Committee. Senator, and this is kind of hits close to home for you, but I wanted to get your reaction. The Eastern Shore Mobile MPOs with a proposal out last week on a new I-10 bridge. Do you have any thoughts on that proposal?
Well, I've seen and read in the papers the proposal. I'm aware of the need, certainly. It's imperative that we get new infrastructure to conduct the commerce between these two counties and also between these two parts of the nation. Mobile Bay is a barrier, and we have to have that infrastructure to get over it. I don't know that the plan is laid out well enough, clear enough, as to where we are. It looks to be, right now, it looks like it's the very similar to what was presented 3 years ago. It doesn't have, the only difference is, I think, it doesn't have the toll matter of the $6 that's there. So I'm looking forward to taking a look at it and figuring out what we can do. My opinion and what I brought forward subsequent to the other was an expressway, an expressway that would be cheaper, that would still keep everything intact, but that didn't get the support it needed to move forward. At least the MPOs are coming together on the east and the west to try to get a plan developed so we can move forward. This, again, is a complicated process, and we've got to keep that carrying at this problem until we get it resolved.
Well, and it seems like, and you've been a resident here for a long time, but every 30, 40 years, we had to revisit this problem. The solution comes together, and you could go all the way back to the 1920s and then sort of the invention of the automobile, but there has never been like a good, long-lasting way to get from Mobile to Baldwin County across the bay. You had like the system of ferries, and you had the causeway, then you had the original Cochran Bridge, and then the tunnels, and now here we are today. Every 30, 40 years, you outgrow it. This plan here that you see, how do you feel about its longevity?
I don't know that yet. I'm concerned because we're building an obsolescence. You're absolutely correct. If we take the growth patterns that we have, and also, if we overlay that with what, if we get this new infrastructure, the growth that would precipitate and how we're dealing with that, I'm not so sure. Now, the I-10 was the best and the most complete infrastructure that we've had been able to get. And it's stood there for a long time, but we have outgrown that for some time, and it's become almost dangerous. Well, not almost. And now we've got to do something more and something a little different. Not a lot different, but a little different. But we'll just keep working on this plan and seeing where we can go. The funding of it's going to be a problem. The appearance of it is being argued about. But the main thing we need is new roadways, new larger roads connecting these two commercial giants, Baldwin and Mobile.
And is that, when we talk about infrastructure, and I think this is going to, it could be an election cycle discussion, to rebuild Alabama and obviously it increasing the gas tax. But are you satisfied with how that has played out since it was passed early 2019 the way it was? Do you think that it is progressing in a good trajectory?
Well, if you're asking me if we've got all that that I thought we would get, no. Have we got all that? I better moderate my tone here. I believe that there was no doubt that we needed to infuse more resources for infrastructure. We have not gotten, I don't think, the correct balance as to what that infrastructure should be and where it should be placed. That continues to be a struggle and will continue to be a struggle.
Well, certainly, well, I think it's, you know, we'll have to wait and see how the public responds to it, whether they think it's a big deal or not. But let's move on to one more thing before we got to let you go. You got a big pot of money here, federal money, with a lot of strings attached, American Rescue Plan Act money. That you know, it's hard to spend money sometimes, but particularly with this, you know, believe it or not, it can be. But talk a little bit about that and having to jump through the hoops and hurdles of the federal government.
Well, if I get too much into this, folks will they'll just pass out from boredom. So stop me when it's appropriate, okay? Right now, to be as specific as I can, we have $580 million of federal monies right now in the bank that is prepared to be spent. We have been meeting on what those needs are, what those guidelines are, how do we do it, and where do we put it, and those type things. And we'll be meeting on that this week, as a matter of fact. And we'll be meeting again through the holidays to try to come to a consensus on where and how that money will be dispersed. But there's, like you said, there's this 580 is not a single pot. It's broken into different pots. And then we got another $192 million. That's a different pot that we don't have that we need to spend in other ways, all with different strings. But there's one fact that troubles me mostly, and that is the state is on the hook for this. No matter who we send this to, whether it's to a county, to a city, to an NGO, or whatever we send it to, if it's misapplied or is used in a way that it shouldn't, and I'm not talking about legality, I'm just talking about from their guidelines, guess what? The state is responsible for it. We have to pay it back. So we're trying to be as careful as we can and as specific as we can. As to where we go, we have hundreds of ideas, concepts, and designs of how this money could be spent under the guidelines that have been propositioned. But just because we can spend it for certain items doesn't mean that we should. We've got to find a way to put this money into the future of Alabama. We've got to find a way so that this one-time money that won't ever be here again will be in the ground or be in the infrastructure or be used by the generation and to beyond us. That's what we're trying to focus on, is where the future can go with this money. Because once we get this pattern with this 580, that'll give us a better way to handle that 192, and also give us a pattern to spend the next billion that comes in May or June. If we just allow this to escape into the hinterlands and simply be lost and not provide a future benefit, we will have created a problem. We will not have done our job.
Senator, you're always very, very kind to come on, and we do appreciate it. Let's talk again soon.
Thank you. Appreciate your patience.
No problem. State Senator Greg Allbritton there. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.